You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
I think it's safe to say that nobody here is going to be splitting the atom, Marty.
Hello, Gamecock Nation. This is TRC Unleashed, episode number 65. I am your host, Buck. I am now the only member of TRC that is not a boat owner. T-Bone is on the line, as well as the G-Man, the two boat owners of the group. But they always say it's best to have a friend who has a boat, right? Isn't that the... Although it doesn't feel like it right now.
You're just drinking the haterade.
I'm just a little bit envious at this point. So,
hey, and mine's even garnet and black.
Yeah, you're one of those. Yeah. You're one of those freakos who buys your car the color of your favorite team and your boat.
So you're just trying to grasp. You're trying to grab onto anything to make you feel superior.
Pretty much anything. I got nothing. I really don't have anything to make me feel superior. I've got a better microphone than you do. I know that.
This is true.
G-Man, what's up with you?
Oh, just I still got my old boat. No new boat. But I did go out in my boat for the first time in many moons this past weekend. It was a nice outing.
Yeah, still got that old bucket of bolts, huh?
Yeah, the old bucket of bolts, but yeah, no garnet and black or anything on there, but had a nice time. Not a whole lot going on in Gamecock, in the game world of Gamecock, other than baseball, but just been working and, I don't know, doing my thing.
Living life. Yeah, we haven't podcast. I think it's been... I think it was March, maybe early March. I think we did a recruiting podcast, and then we did one more after that where we had Scott Swanson on, volleyball coach.
Right.
We're getting in pretty tight with these with the non-revenue sports folks. I mean, we got Swanson, and now you are in big with the Gamecock bass fishing team, apparently.
Yeah, met those guys a couple times, and really nice guys. They brought us some T-shirts.
Yeah,
and I've just hit them up for a couple more T-shirts to accommodate certain members of TRC who can't quite fit into the into the T-shirt that were provided at our last fishing trip.
Those shirts obviously run small. I mean,
well,
obviously.
You might want to get a couple of more extra larges because, guys, I got to be honest with you. I can't quit eating. I can't. I think about food all the time now. I don't know what, if it might be a hormonal thing or it might be a depression thing. I don't know. I need food.
So, Hey, fishing team guys, if you're listening, add a couple X's on those shirt requests. Okay?
I did. I can normally fit pretty well into a large T-shirt, but I got that one home and I put it on and it was, it's I couldn't even sleep in it. I'd be uncomfortable sleeping.
We don't call you bigot for nothing.
That's the damn truth. So anyway, shout out to the University of South Carolina fishing team. You can find them on Twitter at @anglersusc. Getty's Brandon and the boys. So
I think sometime we ought to have those guys on for a little after they do one of their big events. Maybe have them come on the show and talk about it because
that's great.
Kind of a new thing now, relatively new thing. These fishing teams that these colleges are putting forth. So we'll get those guys on.
Yeah, maybe they can teach us a thing or two. I told Brandy when we come down to Fripp in the fall that we would we'd catch a bunch of fish and cook them up, have a big fish fry for her family. So pressure's on.
Just leave them like on her back porch or something like that.
Right.
And you know, I've got that special way of preparing fish where you only cook one where
you side. You cook one half and
you mean sushi?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cooked on one side, it's sushi on the other side.
Yeah, so we had a trip down there one fall, and we were getting ready to watch a football game, and we were cooking our catch. T-Bone was cooking our catch. And I think for every fish that he cooked, he had 3 shots of whiskey. So we wound up with some fish that was cooked okay, and then some that was not cooked at all. So it was
mine was fine. I didn't notice anything wrong with mine.
Right, right.
You were feeling no pain whatsoever, though. So yeah.
So as we're recording, it's about 10:15 on a Thursday night. So tomorrow, in our time, the NCAA baseball regional start. By the time you're listening to this, it'll probably be the day of. Who we got in there? We got Maryland, Campbell, and who's the fourth team?
ODU, Old Dominion.
Old Dominion. That's right. I'm blown away that these teams. I think Old Dominion's last trip was 2000. I mean, 14 years ago, and Maryland hasn't been in the tournament for 30 years or something like that. I find that hard to believe because of the success that we've had, that a big school, a well-known school like Maryland hasn't even been to the tournament in so long. But anyway, they have had a nice run here towards the end of the year. I don't know, G-Man, you're the baseball guy. I feel like we got a pretty good draw here. But at the same time, this team, despite some early season miracle victories and just a great start, I have a hard time feeling real good about them.
Yeah, it's been sort of a strange year for the baseball team, and let's do acknowledge that we are spoiled as baseball fans, because we have been extremely successful. So
yeah.
I think we kind of feel like some of those perennial football powers who, they have a good year but don't win the national championship. We kind of know what they feel like now, because we have a very good baseball team. We're just not as good as we have been. And this year we have suffered through just some devastating injuries that have affected the chemistry of this team. And hopefully, there's a couple of those guys going to be back in the lineup. Let's hope they're well, and then we gel at the right time, and perhaps we'll turn it on like we do a lot of times in the postseason. I mean, we've got talent, but the team is just been disjointed all year, mainly because of the absence of Max Schrock most of the season, because he's our best hitter.
Yeah. And I think, Jordan Montgomery has not been quite the Jordan Montgomery that he was last year. I think – and, again, it's a high bar that he set for himself last year, but the pitching has been a little off recently. It's hard to feel good going into the tournament after you went to Hoover, and everybody's like, Hoover, no big deal. We never win there. We always lose there. But there was something on the line this time. There was a potential national seed on the line. And you go in there and you get run ruled 12-0 in the first game, and you get beat 7-2 in the second one. It's just hard to feel
feel good about it. However, we never play well there, hardly ever, and we always play well in the NCAA. So you kind of thinking maybe it's a good thing that we didn't play there, because it keeps the pattern in check that we have always had. I mean, granted, we want a national seed, but we've gone to the tournament without a national seed before. If our team is healthy and they play well, I think we're one of the top 8 teams in the country.
Yeah,
but
I believe
that's
so.
A big if.
And again, I think we got a good draw this weekend. If we get through this, we're matched up with Virginia. Virginia's a national seed, but Virginia's got Arkansas in there. In there, and there's somebody else in that.
Liberty's
in there too. Yeah, so they do not have an easy foursome up there.
They got a tough draw, and you never know. Just let it play out, see what happens. We could be playing the Supers in Columbia. You never know, but I mean, we'll see. I don't have a great feel for how it's going to go.
Yeah, I was glad College of Charleston didn't get placed in Columbia, and I was glad Georgia Southern. Those were a couple of schools I didn't particularly want to see as a 3 or 4 seed. So we'll see what happens with the baseball team. T-Bone, how you feel about starting Montgomery instead of Wynkoop tomorrow night?
Just as I've always said in the past, every year, wake me up when we get to the rubber match to the Super Regional. That's when I'll start paying attention.
That's when you'll pull out a roster to see who our players are.
I'll be like, oh, okay, I see that guy. Oh, okay. I've heard y'all talk about that fella.
Joey Pancake. Yeah, that name sounds familiar. I remember him.
Yeah, right.
G-Man, make me feel better about I know we're hopefully a long way from this season being over, but speaking of Pancake, we're going to lose Pancake. We're going to lose Griner. Possibility we could lose Montgomery, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't think English is going anywhere. I don't think so. I don't know what kind of pro prospect he is or where he might get drafted, but I'm a little. Kyle Martin will be gone. Bright, isn't Connor Bright? Is he a senior?
He's a junior.
So, do we have some offensive firepower coming in we can count on next year?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we're now recruiting at a very high level. I can't tell you names specifically who's gonna plug in where. I tell you one guy to look out for is this Widener kid who pitched some and hit some this year.
Yeah,
he's a stud. He'll be a regular next year somewhere, and he can really hit. We're just going to reload. I really think we're going to be fine. I think the names are to be determined at this point, but we're recruiting at a very high level. We've recruited in the top five the last 2 years nationally. So I think the baseball team is going to be just fine. From what I understand, we've got some really good power arms coming in. Some of the guys like the Vanderbilts typically sign who throw in the 95 to 96, those guys. And so I think you're going to see us just sort of reload. We'll be okay.
Yeah. All right. Another thing that just happened recently was the NFL draft. And I guess as expected, I kind of felt like towards the end there that Jadeveon Clowney was going to go number one overall to Houston. And just the lure of the proverbial once-in-a-lifetime player was too much for the Texans to pass up. And plus the fact that they're, the more you looked at the quarterbacks in the draft, it was hard to look at a Bork Blatels or a Teddy Bridgewater or even
John. What did you just call him?
Bork Blatels.
Okay.
Blort Bakels. No,
I think you need to check it. It's Bart Blartles.
Isn't Blake Bortles. Wrong? Brian Blake, Bortles.
Blake Bortles.
Who,
it's for you to say.
We handed him his only loss last year. Clowney, looking back, hindsight is 2020, not really a surprise that he went number one. Bruce Ellington goes in the fourth round. Some surprises, no Kelce Quarles.
Yeah. Mm.
That was the biggest surprise to me. And then poor old Vic Hampton, who is still sitting at home, apparently, with a new car and a new car for his mom. I think his off-field exploits must have just been too much to overcome. Plus, he didn't have a great combine. He ran a 40 time that wasn't that great. Maybe he was a little shorter than the scouts expected him to be. But T-Bone, how'd you feel? Was there a sense of pride as Jadeveon Clowney walked across the stage for you?
Yeah, pride. And to be honest, I mean, it's just us three guys talking, right?
Right.
Nobody else is going to hear this. Relief. All along, the idea that the nation's number one recruit, this guy that was a consensus number one pick 2 years ago, was with us, and you kind of, the old Gamecock in me kept expecting the other shoe to drop and something to go wrong. The fact that he came here, had a successful career, was able to parlay that into the number one pick, it just adds legitimacy to the program. It's a great thing for us. It's a great thing for him.
Yeah. How about you, G-Man? Good draft?
Well, I mean, I compared to last year where we had like six guys taken or something like that, it was pretty disappointing to me that we didn't have more people selected. I really thought Quarles was going to go somewhere. Hampton, I just think he made a colossal mistake. I thought that from the beginning when he declared.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because he could come back and start next year, and even if he never went pro, he'd have another year of college football under his belt as a starting cornerback in the SEC, but, you know, all that's for naught. But, Bruce, I was surprised that he fell as far as he did, but there was a pretty deep receiver class, and I think he's landed at a really good place for him. I was a little disappointed to see the Niners take Carlos Hyde in front of Lattimore, because I thought Lattimore was going to really have his chance. He still might, but that may be a little indication that he may not be as recovered as we think, you know, or hope he is to play for them.
Yeah.
But draft, oh, that was a little disappointing. I mean, Clowney was certainly exciting to see him go number one, and that's something that we'll always have, and it's good for the program to have that. And our D line, you know, look at what we can tell people who come here to play D line. We can say John Abraham, probable Hall of Famer. Then you got Clowney, number one pick. You got Melvin Ingram, who was drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
Robertson's playing in the league. I'm sure I'm leaving some guys out, but I mean, our D line, I mean, we got a story to tell there.
Yeah. Had quite a few guys. And back to the Lattimore point, it's interesting you bring that up, because the 49ers have either had or are having their rookie camp, and there's this report that Lattimore was going to participate, but he wasn't going to fully participate. And I'm not quite sure how to read that. I don't know if that means he's eligible to participate because he's not technically a rookie, but he didn't participate last year, so he can, but they're not going to push him through all the drills, or is he not doing it all because he can't, or they want to take it easy on him,
at some point the coach mentioned it, somebody stuck a mic in his face and asked him about it, and he said something about, well, he's got an issue he's dealing with, but it's not the knee.
Oh no, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that was just in the last couple of days. He's got an issue he's dealing with, so he's not going to be out here, and it's not the knee. So, I don't know. I think I'm still so hopeful for that situation. Don't even want to articulate my fears there. But the draft pick bothered me too, because it's kind of like, what do they know that they're not telling yet?
Right.
And the thing about running backs, you know, they have a very short shelf life in NFL anyway. The NFL's figured out now that they can get a running back in the sixth round or the free agent market. I mean, think about Arian Foster, one of the best – backs in NFL. You know where he was drafted? Anybody know?
Fifth, sixth round?
Nope.
Seventh?
Nope.
Free agent?
Yep.
Yeah.
So they know they can get these guys so late that are good backs, and gals, NFL backs take a pounding.
Yeah.
If you go into the NFL and you're already damaged goods, I mean, I know some guys make it, like Frank Gore. It's a tough road to be an NFL back. Those guys get hit. I mean, there's not as many gaping holes where you run through without getting tattooed by safety like you had in college. You know?
So Storm Johnson from Central Florida, you know, aside from Todd Gurley, I don't know that we saw a better running back last year than Storm Johnson, and he goes in the seventh round. You know, when it got to be fifth, sixth round, as a Falcons fan, I was like, man, get that guy. But they drafted the cat out of Florida State, Devontae, you know what I'm talking about, Freeman, yeah. So, you're right. Running backs have taken a dive in the draft the last few years. Connor Shaw signs on a free agent deal with Cleveland. Didn't completely surprise me. I think people started getting a little too excited about Shaw's draft prospects there the last couple of weeks. I didn't surprise me at all that he didn't get drafted and signed a free agent deal. Little concerned about him too, because it sounds like a really good situation to be in, because they bring in Manziel, and maybe they're going to have some special packages for Manziel, and Shaw's a similar type quarterback, similar size, can run the same type of package. But then I saw on the news where Manziel's running with the third team in Cleveland right now, which means Shaw is getting little to no reps with anyone of significance. So I don't know. I think he's going to have a tough time making that team. He's got Hoyer and Tyler Thigpen and Manziel ahead of him. So he's got two guys who are veterans that have been around for a while, and then a guy in Manziel who is the, you know, more than likely will be the starter at some point this season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like a genius move on their part to bring in a guy to kind of, you know, move through the system with Manziel. Like you said, they got that similar styles. And you could think of it purely from a cynical standpoint and say, we don't want Manziel to ever be comfortable. It's worth us paying, you know, scale to this one guy just to keep Manziel working.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the other side of that is that, you know, Connor Shaw came in to college behind a very heralded quarterback, and you know, we know how that turned out. So maybe he'll work his way in.
And keep this in mind too. What is Manziel about? You know, 6 foot, about a 180, something like
right.
that.
I mean, he's 200 pounds.
Guy. Really? Well, he's not a big guy, and NFL you get whacked. You know, I mean, I think Shaw's there as insurance. I think they're going to run an offense that's going to utilize the zone read and a running quarterback. They're making sure they got some other quarterbacks there who can run their offense.
Right. Yeah. Johnny Manziel, 6 foot, 207 pounds. Yeah. So you know, one thing Shaw has got that Manziel does not, it might give him a little more motivation, is he's got a baby on the way.
That's true. Yeah.
It's
true.
Manziel's probably got like 3 or 4.
He's probably got a 3 or 4 year old running around out there somewhere. You didn't see all the controversy about the
the fact that a child.
She's pregnant out of wedlock. Yes. Yes.
I did not see that controversy.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
I know. He's ruined it for everybody now. There's no doubt. No, there was I think WIS had a Facebook post about Shaw, and then about half the people were, wow, that's great, congratulations, glad that child's going to be born into a loving family, and blah, blah, blah. And the rest of them were like, sinner? I can't, you're a sinner.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
And, they are engaged, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well,
it reminds me of a young couple one night traveling along. They were only engaged.
That's...
Granted, it was a little different.
I'm not sure you can draw parallels there, but all
right. They're still considered the Holy Family,
right? So. Yeah, yeah. So. Congrats to Connor and Molly. So, I don't know. I mean, you guys haven't blogged. By the way, congratulations, T-Bone, on getting your blog post in before the end of the month.
You said do one in May. I did one in May.
You darn well did. And G-Man, I'm sure, has got a draft rolling around in his head, and he's down to 2 days to get it posted. So I don't know how much you guys have been paying attention, honestly. But South Carolina's got a new marketing video out, got a new campaign out. Have you watched the video?
Hey, there's a new one that hit today. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, it's brand new.
It's not the one about what is a Gamecock?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I have seen that one. I think it hit yesterday, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's just very... I hate to get on that, because I'll tell you what, the South Carolina's marketing is so much better today than it was 10 years ago, or maybe even 5 years ago. But I attribute most of that to Under Armour. I think they've driven a lot of the cleaning up of our marketing, but the South Carolina marketing department is just trying too hard or something.
And you know, I echo what you said. I think in a blog post, this whole hashtag heresy. I mean, does nobody pronounce these things out loud? Heresy.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
So bad.
Doing this for a living, it baffles me when I see something like that and think that at minimum a handful of people sat around a table and nobody raised their hand and said, hey, does this sound like heresy to you? Right. Sound like maybe we ought to think of a different, and it doesn't particularly make a lot of sense. But the video, right. the original video is really strange because you've got this like junkyard blues music. You feel like you're in an episode of True Detective, or, you know, like you should be in the Louisiana Bayou instead of the state of South Carolina. And then the dude's voiceover comes in, you know, the John Facenda, the really deep, intimidating voice that doesn't... What South Carolinian relates to that guy's voice? I mean, they're trying to tie in this heritage, the state pride, and all this stuff. And here you've got this voiceover of some Yankee ass from, you know, Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But on the other hand, you start trying to think about what would you replace it with. You know, put Pat Conroy on there and he would start crying halfway through. What do you do?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I did. And the Braves, I guess probably 3 or 4 years ago, they had like a nostalgia campaign for the 2009-2010 season. And they had the most ordinary Southern guy who did all the voiceovers. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, you know, doing what I do for a living, I thought, that's an odd choice for a voiceover. But by like mid-season, I was like, this is brilliant because this guy is your next door neighbor. That guy on those South Carolina videos is not your next door neighbor. That's some, you know.
Be careful now. Be careful now, or you're going to have to deal with him and 80,000 of his 80,000. Closest friends.
I am made of concrete and steel. But even, God forbid, even maybe a woman. Yeah. Or another idea I thought of is have a different voiceover for every video. You know.
Hey.
What's that?
Pam Ward.
Pam? This is Pam Ward. I'm made of concrete and steel.
I have 80,000 friends here today.
# here SC.
With the triple was.
With a blue collar and a garnet heart. You can. That's another thing. The blue collar garnet. I mean.
Did Demetra write that?
You guys are lawyers. Does that not offend you? You're white collar. I mean, do you feel a little left out?
To begin with, I'm still blue collar.
Tebow's not a lawyer, by the way. Right. He just plays one on TV.
Not anymore, anyway.
So, I don't know. It's just really... And then the over the top, the super heavy voiceover, or the script, which is just a, you know, one cliche spewed out after another, and we know that Demetra did all that. So, God, I'm stumbling all over myself. I get so mad thinking about this. You know, the imagery is fine, and the sequencing of the imagery is fine. And it actually looks pretty good.
How is the kerfing of the font or whatever?
The fonts are kerfed. I've never seen kerfing like that. It's brilliant kerfing and kerning. No, kerning. Kerning and
I think there's a kerfing too.
Kerning and letting. So anyway, it's G-Man wants us to get off this topic. all right. You want to do some questions?
Let's do some questions because we're down a rabbit hole on this thing.
We are way down a rabbit hole. Heresy. #heresy. So we got some questions. I actually asked for questions and some bumper music, and I don't think I got a good bumper music suggestion, so I'm going to have to search for some music.
You need a
some
good
music.
Summer, beginning of summer kind of song.
Yeah. So Layla did ask us what our opinion was on Shaw and JFF together at the Browns. I think we gave her our opinion. I don't know what JFF stands for, though. Johnny effing football.
That's actually what his parents wanted to put on their license plate. Did y'all know about that?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And their daughter, who's like 17, had to explain to them that that was in bad taste.
Your daughter.
That's true. True story.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Forgive me as I'm going through this. Faux Andy Demetra suggested anything by Celine Dion or Michael Bolton for the bumper music. John Michael Gunnels says, when I become South Carolina's next head coach, who on alternative Gamecock Twitter should be on my coaching staff? Well,
you got three right here.
I definitely think I'm your offensive coordinator.
You're definitely offensive.
Yeah. G-Man. G-Man's probably a special teams guy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. T-Bone can run the defense. We need a wide receivers coach. B-Click-Clack could be your wide receivers coach. I don't know. The content at this point of the podcast was deemed not suitable for our younger audiences and has been modified. We now return to the regularly scheduled podcast. Ba-doom-boom.
What?
So what happens here is we wind up leaving people out. So we're just going to stop there. And people are like, hey, what did you talk about me on your thing? So we'll move on to the next question. And I told T-Bone we got the best question in the history of the podcast, and I'm trying to track it down. Anthony Goodrow asked us what our favorite Windows 3.1 screensaver was. He says, I bet it was Flying Toasters.
No, man, not Flying Toasters. It's the marquee.
Yeah.
You can type your own words in. You can make it say ridiculous things.
Yeah. So if the women's basketball team played the men in the opener next year for one half, who wins? And that's from Qnal Das, at Qnal, Q-N-A-L. And, you know, I know what his point is. The men would destroy the women, of course, because they're Division I basketball players, and I hope they would. But I think his point is the women's basketball team is getting loaded up. I mean, we did pick up Asia Wilson. Is that right?
Right.
Is it Asia?
It's Asia. We got a couple of Asias on the team now, don't we? Asia right. Dozier. And
right.
So we are in prime position to be, you know, top five ranked heading into next season, probably a Final Four favorite. And then you've also got Diamond DeShields, who is transferring away from North Carolina. And I believe there's a shot. We got a shot at her, too. So
I don't think we want her, but
yeah, she seems a little bit like a little bit of a diva.
Yeah, diva, and I mean, where are we going? I mean, at some point, there's only one basketball. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we don't want her. We don't want the.
I'm just saying. I mean, you got
top freshman in the country transferred. Yeah, I hear you. I understand what you're saying.
You know, we did. Not that it's huge news, but we did get a basketball recruit yesterday.
Did we?
Yep.
So a guy from Louisiana.
Yep.
It must not have been huge news at all, because I didn't. What's his name?
His name is Thompson. He's a 6'9 kid out of Louisiana. I brought some highlights on him. Played against private school competition, but you know, of course, he dominated there. It's kind of an unknown. 6'9, about 215.
Late qualifier.
Eligible for this coming season?
Yes.
Oh, good. Hey, need another body. So here it is. Let me get B Click Clack's question out of the way. She says, are any of the players colorblind? Are you? I hear it makes alternate uniforms difficult to see. I don't know what that question means.
I don't know. I don't even know.
But here it is. Best question in the history of the podcast from Chicken Hoops, at Chicken Hoops on Twitter. He says, in honor of the spelling bee, ask others on the podcast to spell Limonis Chetkevicius and Mendogus Kaichinus correctly.
Okay, I can do this.
All right, so T-Bone, you spoke up. You spell one of them, and we'll get G-Man to spell the other.
Okay.
Do not look at your computers.
I'm not looking it up. Can you use it in a sentence?
Limonis Hatchevicus had a great SEC tournament.
And what's the country of origin?
Latvia. No, I don't know. Where are they from?
Lithuania.
Lithuania.
Okay, Lithuania. Okay. Limonis Chatkivius. Shus.
Hat. I heard people towards the end of the end pronouncing it without the C. So it was like Hatchevicus.
Hatchevicus. Okay. Here we go. It's Limonis Chatkivius. Just L A I M O N Mascornelius. Lamonis Cornelius.
You got Lamonis right. Come on, give me an honest. You did. Give me an honest shot at Chatkevicius.
Well, you know it's a C H A T.
Right. Kevicius.
Kevis. It's got to be K E V. If it's like vicious. V I. C-O-U-S.
Oh, C-I-U-S.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was so close. G-Man, who thinks every segment so far tonight has been horrible, we need you to spell Mindaugas Caicinus.
I thought it was Caicinus, but...
I'm going to punt.
You're going to punt? You can't punt.
You can't. No, you've got to give it a shot. Come on, Mindaugas, go.
M-Daugas. K A C N something.
Oh my gosh.
You finish it.
You're awful.
You're terrible. T-Bone, give it a shot. Mindaugas?
Well, Mindaugas, I know. It's, I won't tell you why. Some of our listeners might know. M I N D A U G A S.
Okay. Is that your middle name or something?
No. He was a character in the Harry Potter books.
Oh, I didn't know that. Caicinus or Caicinus?
I think it's Caicinus. K A C I N U S.
Oh, I N A S.
Oh, man. I keep.
So one letter off on both. What a great question, even though G Man didn't want to play along. Let's see. There was one final question from Meat Locker Blog. Would you rather be stuck in a tent in the middle of nowhere with Cloninger or Demetra? You have to stay all night. No cheating.
He likes this one.
I've got an answer, but I'll let you guys go first. Cloninger or Demetra?
I know what you would say. Can I answer for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you're going to say Demetra so you can pummel him all night.
That is it. That is... Because, see, I don't think you could... I think you would have to literally murder Cloninger to get him to shut up.
And he would be all like, you know, it's really wet over here. Oh, it's raining. Which is kind of what G-Man's like in that situation.
I think you could look at Demetra and point a, you know, a stern finger at him and just say, shut up. And you probably wouldn't hear from him again for a while. So I think he'd be easier.
But you would hear from 80,000 of his...
80,000. Oh my gosh. So, all right. Well, I mean, geez, guys, it's just the dead period, you know? It's just not a lot going on.
Can I bring up some actual meaty, like, football talk as opposed to this stuff that we talked about, the promotional video and uniform talk? Can we talk about some actual sports for a second?
And now it's time for the G-Man segment. Go ahead.
Y'all good?
I'm good with that.
All right, because I'm not really into the media stuff and the uniform talk. It doesn't do it for me. But
who mentioned anything about uniforms?
I heard something about uniforms in one of those questions. I think it was maybe
B Click Clack talking about. Hey, look.
Yeah.
You know, T-Bone doesn't know anything about baseball, so he shuts up during the baseball segment. Just roll with it. Man.
I'm with you.
We're entertainers, is what we
I'm
are.
Good. I'm good with it, except I would actually like to now talk about something substantive.
What do you need to know?
It's really just an observation. I was talking to a guy the other day. We were just shooting a bull up at the pool, and we were talking about the football team and just sort of a.
Oh, Mr. Fancy Pants has got a pool that he goes to.
Ooh, an aristocrat.
It's a swimming pool. Do they not have those in Atlanta?
Were you getting a massage?
Wait a minute. Is this one of those that's got chlorine and everything in it? Because I knew you were rich, but geez Louise, man.
Can I move on?
Yeah, go ahead. Please? Go ahead.
All right. So we're just talking general article about how the young kids don't really understand the suffering and how they sort of expect us to be good. And we kind of got off on what has transformed the team to make it to where it is today. Why are we better? And I sort of just went back to the Central Florida game, which we alluded to earlier in the podcast. Think about what we did. Remember, that was a pretty good football team that we beat, right?
Yeah, yeah, turned out to be. Yeah.
Right. Think about what happened second half of that football game. Think about how that's going to apply to next year's football team. Think about the same quarterback, same tailback, the best offensive line we're probably ever had is going to be there next year. Second half is a proof snapshot or flash forward, if you will, of what we're going to see on the Gamecocks this year. What do you guys think?
Well, we lost you for about 5 seconds there, so we didn't hear what you
right
said.
Right in the meat of your comment, but I think your sense okay, no, that I'll, that I'll no, wait, no, you, don't repeat because I'm going to guess what you said. You're saying that was a preview of what we're going to see in the fall.
Correct. What do you think? Do you agree?
I think that's an optimistic view.
Right.
Because we also
I'm talking stylistically.
Stylistically. Oh, okay. Yes. Not output. Yeah, I think the zone read stuff, we're not going to see as much of that this year because we got a guy that doesn't do that as well.
Right.
So hopefully we're going to line up and pound some people. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see if we can.
Right. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I got a lot of confidence in Dylan Thompson, and I got a lot of confidence in the scheme that they're going to put around him. He's got a lot of, you know, we got some good backs, we got some good receivers, we got good tight ends, we're going to have an excellent offensive line. I think you're going to see a lot more of a pro style offense than we've seen the last few years with Shaw and Garcia under center.
That's kind of what I'm saying. You get a lineup, some I formation. We're going to run a lot of tailback isolation plays, and then we're going to run a lot of play action with a lot of traditional pro set. I think that's what Dylan is kind of made to, you know, that's what he's made to do.
Yeah.
Now that he's not able to escape.
Does this cause you any anxiety? I mean, this is not the template. We've won with this with a different template for several years now.
We adapt our personnel, and I think our personnel is going to do well in this. I mean, think about the receivers we have. I mean, you got Bird, you got Roland, who is a traditional outside
receiver.
Run your slants and run your I really see us more of a pro style with your traditional eye backfield with an occasional mix of the zone read just to keep folks honest. But I was just thinking about that game, how we just lined up. We just decided in the second half of that game, we're just going to line up and beat you mano a mano with our offensive line and our big, powerful tailback. And we just did it on the road against a quality football team. When can you – that's how we used to lose football games.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, we've seen Spurrier do that a few times with, between Lattimore and Mike Davis, where he comes out with a game plan where he wants to throw it all over the field.
Yep.
And it's just not working. And at halftime, Lattimore would have four carries. Or, you know, I think Mike Davis only had three or four carries at halftime last year of that game.
Right.
And it's just like, at halftime, the light bulb goes on. He's like, hey, I got an All-American back there in the backfield. Let me just give it to him and let's shove it down their throat. And
the Kentucky game a couple years ago at Kentucky when we did them. I mean, to me, I guess what I'm saying is we've become a team that can do that to people. And that, to me, is the difference between the old Gamecocks in the current Gamecocks. You know, we've now got the depth at the lines to do this sort of thing. Not that we're going to go out and beat everybody to a pulp this year, but we're going to be a force to be reckoned with our offensive and defensive lines. I really believe it. Even with the losses on defensive line, I still think we're going to be pretty strong up front on both sides of the ball.
What's going to happen to us on the defensive side of the ball? I think our linebackers are going to be as strong as they've been in a long time. Interior defensive line looks like it's going to be pretty good. Who is even going to play defensive end for us?
Yeah, I'm a big 44 fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But besides him, you got English, you got Mason Harris. It sounds like one of our stud freshmen is going to be out with a broken foot for a while. Can't count on him to contribute.
And the Jalston guy. Jalston like Thomas. He's make it.
Yeah, doesn't look like he's going to make it. So, a little worried about the end position.
You're looking at a 3-4, I think is what you're looking at. Yeah. With that kid, Deion Green, playing in some. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're looking at a lot of 3-4 because we're heavy at linebacker. And so you're going to see a lot of 3-4 with a lot of linebackers coming off the edge in passing situation.
Yeah. Put ball out there, man. B-A-W.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, thanks for reining us back in there, G-Man, talking some actual sports.
Football.
All right. Speaking of football, well, we got anything else? I don't think we got anything else to talk about. I mean, we've had 2 months to think about it, and this is all we gave you folks. So, for the three people listening, so what is it? Today's Thursday. When did I post the 2,000 days? Was that last Thursday?
I think it was last Friday.
When's the last time we did a this weekend Dabo segment?
This weekend Dabo.
Yeah.
We can do one right now.
Is there anything to talk about in the world of Dabo lately?
The big news was the group that got onto him about being too religious, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's
nothing wrong with bringing a big some sort of feed trough onto your practice field?
A big baptism tub?
There's nothing wrong. What's wrong with people? Why can't you just bring a big huge tub onto your practice field and baptize somebody in full shoulder pads? What is wrong with that? Come on, people.
I don't know. I don't understand what all the ruckus is about.
I don't either. I mean, I think they ought to be baptizing guys in full. I mean, I'm surprised he should have worn his helmet. That would have been better.
he might have drowned. I don't know if he had one of those.
Baptism is a violent sport.
If he had a face shield on, they might be able to get the water out of there or something. I don't know.
That's true.
How did the fans react to that though, T-Bone? The ones you were around.
They all love it. They all love him, and they love that. And he's being persecuted and blah blah blah. And he's playing it up to the hilt.
Yeah.
Best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah. Well, that's our mini this weekend, Dabo. All right, we're running up here on an hour. After I go back and edit out all the bad parts, we'll be back down to about a 10-minute show.
So. Just take out everything T-Bone said.
Right.
What, again?
All right. Well, thanks for sitting in with us. We'll be back again. Hopefully not in another 12 weeks or however long it took. You know, I'm gonna whenever it gets to the point in time, I'm gonna start reposting the buckshots from last year, the season reviews.
Oh yeah. So those are awesome.
Y'all don't let me forget about those. We'll do a countdown to the start of the season then. So, but you know, I got a family beach trip coming up. We got a whole summer to enjoy before we have to start stressing out over football, right?
Exactly. Keep enjoying last year a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. And we'll, you know, hopefully bring home another baseball national championship just to hold us over until the fall.
While we're at it. That's right.
So, in the meantime, it has now been 2,007 days since South Carolina last lost to Clemson in football. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com. Thanks for joining us.